Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Real Life Radio. Good Friday morning. This is one of my favorite parts of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras is every Friday I get to spend the day with some of my favorite authors. Today I have Barbara Husbach on, the author of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes. But before I bring Barbara on, we are going to start with a prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the fools, liars, cheaters, and other Bible heroes who have come before us to be our models, our intercessors, our guides, and even sometimes make us feel better about our own journeys with you. We ask you to send down your Holy Spirit, open up our hearts and our minds to the message that you have for us during this time. And we ask all this through your Son's most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, before I bring on Barbara, I just want to remind everybody that next week we have Ellen Gable's book, Stealing Jenny. And I just saw this morning on Facebook that it is being offered free on Kindle until Saturday. So if you want to join, it's truly like a weekend read, phenomenal book called Stealing Jenny. It's fiction with all Catholic themes in it. You've got to download this book, especially because it's free. There's nothing for you to lose on this one. Go to Kindle, Ellen Gable's Stealing Jenny. I'll have the link up on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. So without any further ado, I want to welcome on Barbara Husbach, author of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes from Franciscan Media. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show today. It's a joy to be able to talk to you.
Well, I told you the minute I don't think I made it through the first chapter of your book before I was like, no, she has to come on the show. I have to feature this book, one of the best Bible books I have read in a really long time, Barbara. Just really well done.
Well, thanks. You're very kind.
Well, you're a very good writer. You know, as happens every single week, you think I'd get better at this by now. I spend so much time talking about your book, I never talk about you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've loved to write since I was a little girl, but I didn't actually pursue writing until I retired from my 33-year-old career in social services. And I just found that when I read the Bible, I get so curious about the people mm-hmm. in it, and I wonder what things were like for them, and I just wanted to share that. And I began to write my thoughts, and I joined a writer's group, and I was encouraged to send out articles, and one thing led to another, and I got... This is actually the first book that I got published, Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes.
Has your writing always been about the scriptures, about the people from the Bible?
Yeah, they say to write what you know, and although I'm not a scripture scholar or a theologian or anything, the Bible has really helped me in my own personal life, and I identify with it so closely that I just want to share that with other people. So that's primarily what I write about is scripture and what God has done for me and what I see him doing in the lives of the others around me.
Well, that authentic witness really came through in your writing. Now, you have a psychology background, and that was pretty evident, I think, to me, at least, and reading how you summarized, you know, some of these Bible characters. Would you agree that that has a lot to do with how you come at looking at these people of the Bible?
Not consciously, no.
interesting.
When I read the story, well, I was away from the church for many years, and when I came back, when my spiritual journey really began to deepen, it was because I needed God in my personal life, in the here and now. And when mm-hmm. I started reading the Bible in that way, when I read Paul's letters, I pretended he was writing to me personally to see what I could get out of it. And I started reading the whole Bible that way. What does it mean for me in the here and now? What has this got to do with me? What was it like for that person? Maybe she felt some of the feelings I'm feeling. In fact, I was talking to my sister one day about a passage in Scripture and identifying with it, and she made a comment about it, and I said, well, doesn't everybody read the Bible that way? And she said, no, nobody reads the Bible that way. And so I don't know whether other people do or not, but it's a very personal experience for me when I read stories in the Bible. So whether the psychology background kicks in on some level I'm not aware of, I don't know.
Well, I think that's fabulous advice. If somebody isn't reading the Bible that way, to put yourself at one of the characters. So sometimes I do something kind of similar. Sometimes I put myself as the main character. Sometimes I put myself as just a person watching, like what's unfolding. But I think, again, that idea of looking, what does this mean to me in the here and now? I love how you put that. I think that's so insightful and really shows how the God's word is truly meant to guide us every day. Like, it's not just meant for those people 2,000 years ago, but for each and every one of us today.
Well, right. If it doesn't mean something for us personally today, why bother? You know, it's just the intellectual or philosophical exercise. But I don't know about anybody else, but I need God right here and right now.
Amen. Me too, Barbara. That's probably why I really related so well instantly to your book. And I was reading your book in adoration, actually. So I feel like so close to God in that moment. And then to have all these characters come to life right there in adoration was truly a spiritually beautiful experience. And again, thank you for, you know, feeling we all have a call from God, but not everybody feels the are able to say yes when God says, all right, I have something for you to do, and here's what I'd like you to do. And I really applaud you for saying yes to God, especially as you mentioned, not having that theological background. It, you know, it could have been a little daunting even to pitch it, but I'm really also grateful to Franciscan Media for seeing the importance of what you were doing. Speaking of what you were doing, how'd you come up with this title, Barbara? Fools, Liars,
Actually,
Tears.
Actually, I didn't come up with the title. Franciscan Media didn't like my title, so they changed it to this one, and I think it's a good one. my original title was God's Guest List. We're all on it. Because that whole idea of, if you look at the characters in my book, they're all so different. You know, some were rascals, some weren't. There were homebodies, soldiers, all kinds of people in all kinds of situations with all kinds of personalities. And God invited all of them. My dad always used to say, no two snowflakes are alike and no two people are alike. And you can really see that in who God chooses to work through. And in Scripture, we have a whole cavalcade of different people. Right, we're all invited, no matter, you know, what we're like personally, what our circumstances are like, what our backgrounds are like. He invites all of us.
I love that. So welcoming. There's no one left out of the table for God's banquet, that's for sure. So how did you decide? You have 28 characters in here. How did you decide which Bible characters to choose?
Well, I wanted an equal number of men and women, and I wanted an equal number from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then I just tried to pick people that were different from each other and people that I related to in some way. So they just kind of presented themselves to me.
Did you have a favorite? Is there someone in there that as you were writing it, you were like just feeling like this person and I could be like best buddies?
My favorite is Ananias. He's the guy who, you know, everybody knows the story of St. Paul. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and he was struck blind and led into the city. And 3 days later, God told Ananias to go and heal Paul. And if you read the story in Acts, you can almost hear, like reading between the lines, you know, Ananias is saying to God, you want me to what? You want me to heal who? Do you know? I heard about this guy. He's persecuting us Christians. You want me to go? I just love it. He was so skeptical. God, do you really know what you're doing? This just doesn't sound right. And I can so identify with that kind of feeling, you know? Little old me, you want me to, you know, what could you possibly want this to happen this way for, God? I just love Ananias.
That is so true. You know, like, to think about what was going through Ananias' mind, like, this is the guy that held the coat while, you know, St. Stephen was being killed. You don't really want me to meet this guy, do you? We're talking today with author Barbara Hosbach of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes, published by Franciscan Media. And when we come back from our break in a few minutes, Barbara, I want us to look at what these characters have in common. You know, what is it about them that, you know, we can see from person to person? I know personally, as I was journeying with it this week, and I'm really glad that I had 4 days to dive into it. I didn't even get through all 28 people. I kept seeing this commonality of, you know, people able to say yes, like Ananias, even when they didn't understand what was going on. So we'll be back after this break. We're talking with author Barbara Hosbach from Franciscan Media's wonderful book, Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes. If you have got questions for Barbara, 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380. This is A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Real Life Radio. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on listener-supported Real Life Radio. Just to remind you that on next week's show, from Tuesday to Friday, we're going to be journeying with Stealing Jenny. It's a fiction book by Ellen Gable, and it's on sale this weekend on Kindle for free. So if you're interested in downloading it, it's totally like a weekend read, a couple days. It's one of those you just can't put down books. It's so good. Make sure you pick up Stealing Jenny this weekend on Kindle for free. And on Monday, we're going to have a pre-recorded show with Sarah Reinhart. We're going to be reviewing some books. We're still not doing live because technically she's on maternity leave, being a newly minted mom of, what, the fourth, I think, her new little boy. And we're going to be talking about St. Teresa of Avila, the 30 Days with St. Teresa of Avila, Crimson Bound, Thrill of the Chaste, and the American Catholic Almanac. So don't miss Monday's show. But today's show, we are so blessed to be joined by Barbara Hosbach, author of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes by from Franciscan Media. And if you have any questions for Barbara, we'd love to hear from you. 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380. That's 855-949-1380. Or you can always leave a message on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. I always check that during the break. Now, Barbara, before we left for our break, I was discussing the characters and what they have in common. Do you see a commonality between the 28 Bible characters you chose for this book?
Well, I think as you pointed out, the commonality is that they all said yes. They all responded to God's call, some sooner, some later, some reluctantly, some eagerly, but they all said yes and did the job that God asked them to do.
One of my favorite characters is Esther. I just love the story of Esther. I don't know, it's because I learned it by watching a movie where they totally romanticized it. And they made this king, you know, a very handsome, generous man. Not the one who knocked off the head of his wife because she was insolent. Like, what is it about Esther? What made you include her? Was there anything?
Well, I was intrigued by the idea that God would ask someone to serve him by spending a year in a beauty spa, because that's what ended up happening. She was taken into the harem of the king, where she had 6 months of massages and 6 months of beauty treatments and oil treatments. And if she had not allowed herself to be indulged in that way, she wouldn't have been able to play the role God had in mind for her to play, because ultimately, she became the queen and was able to save the Jewish people when they were threatened with mass destruction.
And, you know, you don't really look at people who are that, you know, to talk about looking at outward appearances and the prejudices and the biases that we have. Like, you would never think of somebody who would be that pampered, that's treated so well, and the outward beauty. You'd never realize the courage and the real heart of that person. For me, Esther is also a lesson in not judging people's outward appearances, but knowing that there's always more to somebody.
That's a good point, because she really risked her life interceding for the Jewish people when she went in to see the king. If you went in to see him without being summoned, you risk death. But he was won over by her physical beauty, and so her life was spared. And then in that way, she was able to intercede for others. So you're absolutely right. Pampered though she was, and, you know, drop-dead gorgeous as she may have been, she faced a real risk and rose to the challenge.
Yeah, she's definitely one of my heroes. My other hero is Gideon. And I had not realized, honestly, until I read your book, that I've forgotten or never even realized that he whittled down that group from, I can understand the first one, as you write, you know, the first part of the group is taken out because of their fear or their trembling. You know, that makes sense. There could be some dissension. But the second way that the Lord, you know, whittled down that group was how they drank water.
Yeah, that's pretty arbitrary, isn't it?
It's a little crazy.
Gideon didn't want to be the leader in the first place. He, you know, when God first called him, he said, "Who am I? I'm from a small family." And then I could see his self-confidence growing as he's got 20,000 men behind him. And then God wipes away half of them, and then he says, "No, there's still too many. Look at the way they drink water, and we're only going to pick these 300 that drink in this peculiar way." And I could just feel Gideon's, you know, self-confidence going, wait a minute. But as God told him, if they win the victory with so many, they'll think it was their doing, not my doing. God wanted to make it crystal clear that the victory was by his power and his grace. And I think that's a real temptation for me anyway, when things are going well, to, you know, I think I'm trusting God, but am I really trusting my own strength or my own cleverness or something else? Which, when you think about it, even our talents are God-given. Yeah. So there's really nothing we can get big egos about when you think about it.
No, that's a beautiful point. And I think that gives us, that to me gives me extra courage, and maybe an ironic way, but knowing that I can do nothing aside from God, and that everything comes from God, and he's going to give me, I always say, if he's called me to it, he will equip me in it. And to see, you know, Gideon's one of those examples that God has called him to it. He's going to equip him with it to accomplish what he's called him for, but it might not look anything the way we expect it to look. You know, he'll put those whatever we need in, you know, he'll give it to us, but it might not look exactly what we think. And I love how you write here, taking a risk to try something new can be an act of faith if we believe it's part of God's plan for us. It really requires an act of faith sometimes to answer yes to God.
And that's when we're really going by faith, is when we don't have that confidence and we go ahead and take the risk anyway, you know, because it's not about our even feeling good about a situation or about our ability, but really relying on, as you said, God's equipping of us to do what he's calling us to do. That's when we're walking by faith and not by sight.
And you're right here, we don't even have to try so hard. And I think I fall into that so badly. Like, I will spin my wheels thinking, this is all my doing. Like, how am I going to write this? Because I'm also a writer. But I spin my wheels going, I just can't write this. But when I relax and say, Lord, you have a message to say, you write it. It's amazing to me. Do you find that same thing, that, you know, when you let God write your You feel more confident, or you feel like you don't have to work as hard?
I'm not sure how to answer that, because as you know, as a writer and with your radio show, there is a lot of hard work involved, but in doing anything to the best of our ability, and yet that feeling like the whole world is on our shoulders somehow crosses the line where we're not giving our best effort, but we're getting into, thinking it all depends on us.
I think you answered that pretty well. We're talking
today. Someone said we do the footwork and we leave the results in God's hands. And when I remember to do that, because that's when I find myself trying too hard, when I think the outcome has to look a certain way or be a certain way. And, if I expect to make my book be on a New York Times bestseller list, there's going to be a whole lot of stress and strain, as opposed to if I do my best and then let God worry about that, it's going to end up in the hands of whoever is going to find it useful. That's a whole different attitude. Then I can relax. Mm-hmm. God's in charge of the outcome, not me. I don't have to force anything.
It reminds me so much of what St. Paul has to say. Our job isn't the reaping. Our job isn't the bringing of the fruit of it. Our job is to plant or to water. And if we just do that part well, we are not God. And I sometimes I have that problem, Barbara. I've got to be honest. Sometimes I forget that him and I aren't partners. That I'm not, it doesn't all depend upon me. It's all on him. And I think you answered that quite beautifully. We're talking today with Barbara Husbeck, author of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes from Franciscan Media. If you've got any questions for Barbara, please call in 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380, or you can send a message over at a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. So Barbara, do you think that these people have anything to teach us here 2,000 years later or more?
Absolutely. The fact of their diversity tells us to embrace who we are. God created us as individuals for a reason. We're not like everybody else, and we don't have to be like everybody else. Do you watch reality TV shows? I don't really watch them, but it seems to me like there's a lot of reality TV shows that start out with a whole bunch of people, and then week after week they eliminate and keep on narrowing the playing field till they're left with just one person. And God does the opposite. He invites so many people. It's like that parable of the king throwing a wedding feast for his son, and the originally invited guests couldn't be bothered to come. So he tells his servants to go out to the highways and byways and bring in whoever they find. And that's what these people's stories have to offer us. And we may identify more with one type of personality than another, but just the diversity of all the people that God used in his plan can help show us that who we are today, who each listener is out there, the circumstances they're in, the personality they have, they're individuals for a reason, and God has a plan.
We'll pick up with Barbara Husbeck after this break. We're talking about fools, liars, cheaters, and other Bible heroes. You're listening to listener-supported Real Life Radio, and this is A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on listener-supported Real Life Radio. If you'd like to find out more how you can help support Real Life Radio, go to realliferadio.com and click on the Care to Share program. Today, I am caring to share. Yeah, I know, it never gets old. All right, maybe it doesn't. I need to stop, but I like it. I am sharing with you today Barbara Hasbeck, herself, the author of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes, published by Franciscan Media, one of my ultimate favorite books of 2015. It didn't come out in 2015, but that's when I discovered it. If you have any questions for Barbara you'd like to ask, please call in 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380, or leave a message on a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. And if you happen to do that during the last break, I have a confession. We were chatting and I forgot to check, but I promise I will check at the end of this segment. So a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. Ooh, and while you're there, click on the giveaway and you can get yourself a copy of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes by Barbara Hasbeck. Trust me, you will not be sorry that you at least tried or go and purchase it. Barbara, where can we purchase this book, by the way?
It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and directly from Franciscan Media. If people go to my website, there's a page for the book, and you can just click on to purchase, and it will take you to one of those links.
And what is your website again?
www.BibleMeditations.net.
Excellent. And what else do you have on there? Do you blog? Are you a blogger?
I do. I blog about scripture nice. Twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Wednesday, I usually focus on a word from scripture, and Saturdays usually spotlight on a person, an individual.
That's fabulous. I love how you kind of a structure to your blogging. I'm kind of like all over the place. Like I get into a rhythm and I blog almost every day, and then I get out of a rhythm and it feels like it takes me like days to get back to blogging. I love that you're so structured. So Wednesday and Saturday, and Bible Meditations?
Yes, BibleMeditations.net. Well, one word, BibleMeditations.net.
Excellent. And I will link that to a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. I'll make sure it gets on there. So if anybody's listening and they're driving, they can't write it down, we'll make sure you get that. Plus, don't forget to listen to the podcast afterwards. We always have those up within a couple days or so. So getting back to Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes by Barbara Hasbeck, published by Franciscan Media, back into our conversation. So which character, I mean, you said Ananias but was your favorite, but is that also the one that you feel kind of had the most meaning to you personally?
Which had the most meaning to me personally? Oh, that's a tough one because there are several. For one thing, I found myself wondering why Jesus would include a skeptic as one of his 12 apostles, and Nathaniel was a skeptic, so that gives me a lot of hope that when I have doubts, God isn't going to turn me away because I'm questioning and doubting, because after all, God's a God of truth, so if we can't be honest with God about our doubts, who can we be honest with? So Nathaniel I identify with on that basis. And Martha, personality. So many. I guess there's something about each one of these people that I identify with.
I really loved Nathaniel. I was sharing the story this week that I have a soon-to-be godchild because he's selected me as his confirmation sponsor, whose name is Nathaniel. And when I learned that Nathaniel is also Bartholomew in the Bible, I started just to call him Bart. Like 10 years ago when I discovered this, I thought it was cute, and I started to call him Bart. But God is so funny how he just lines up our lives. A few years later, I went through my own kind of Nathaniel moment where I was not feeling like I was without guile. Like I felt like I was two different people. And I really looked to Nathaniel as that the character in the Bible, Nathaniel Bartholomew, is that example of being like just authentic and being honest with myself and with God. And I love how you just said that. Like God he can handle us when we're skeptical. Like he understands that's part of our human nature. And I think that being open with God, like I always say, he gave you your brain, he can read it. So trying to hide things from God isn't really a smart idea.
And it's so hard to give ourselves permission. even to admit to ourselves when we're skeptical or when we're angry or feeling what we perceive to be negative. I mean, God gave us the whole range of emotions, and if we bring them to Him, He, like you say, He can handle it, and He can lead us through to the other side.
Absolutely. And I noticed in one of the stories, and I wish I could, I know I've circled it and I put a bookmark, but of course now I can't find it. You talk about your struggle with insomnia. Would you mind sharing a little bit about, is that still, oh, here it is. I found it. It was Anna. So you said you found yourself isolated in the middle of the night by insomnia. Was that not a struggle? It was just that one night? Or?
No, it was an ongoing for many years. I come to consider myself as blessed with insomnia because that's what I began doing. When I couldn't get to sleep, I had worries in my mind. First, I started putting on headphones and listening to uplifting music, and then I started reading the Bible, and that's when I began to really, it was almost like an enforced retreat every night. It was like a date with God. And I began to read it in a more personal way because I couldn't sleep and I had nothing better to do. And God takes us any way He can get us, I think. So the insomnia really turned out to be a blessing. And it's just within the last year that I've been sleeping through the night more.
And I think you have, in that chapter, I also wrote, I always underline and circle stuff, and then I write little notes, and I wrote good advice, and you had written, even those of us with busy lifestyles do well to interrupt our demanding schedules periodically for time of rest and reflection. Whether we accept opportunities for quiet prayer or create our own, these times renew us. More than that, they can equip us, like Anna, to share the good news with those still waiting to be set free. And I think you make a really good point. You know, sometimes I think God does give us these gifts of insomnia. I also have, that's probably why it stuck out, because I also struggle with that, because I'm not making time myself to be with Him, and He knows how good it is for me. And I love also that you said that blessing of insomnia, because in that you found more time with God.
Yeah, as I said, He takes us any way He can get us. And sometimes, I know there was being a type A personality, a Martha type, there was a time I really had to go outside of my house in order to have that quiet time, because if I tried to spend quiet time at home, you know, the chores that needed doing would call to me, and I had to physically go outside other than the middle of the night. So that was really a gift.
And, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about Anna being in the temple. And for me, I just realized that for me, it's going to adoration. Like, that's me going and sitting quietly in the corner of the temple. That's when I can quiet myself, when I'm not being drawn in by social media or the dishes or all the other things that can take from my attention. So to make that quiet time, I think, is great advice, because we're not going to hear God, and He comes in the whispers, right? So if we're always surrounding ourselves with noise and busyness, we'll miss His amazing message.
That's true. And yet, listening to you, I'm thinking about Tabitha, who was a homebody, and she probably never went anywhere, and she stayed home and sewed clothes for poor people. Sometimes those for certain types of people, I would suppose that these acts of service, like sewing or maybe gardening or whatever, they can become a prayer for people. That's not me, but I'm sure there are people out there that through that kind of service that they do, their action, their work, and their prayer almost meld together.
That's beautiful. We're talking today with Barbara Husbeck, author of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes. And if you have any questions for Barbara, we still have time in this segment and then in the next. 855. Okay, in the next. We only have 2 minutes left in this one. But put this number down and give us a call. 855-949-1380. 855-949-1380. That's 855-949-1380. And if you're listening to this on the podcast and you think, I have a question, but it's too late now. It's never too late. Come over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. You can either private message me or put it on the Facebook page. If you're thinking it, somebody else is probably thinking it too. And we'll make sure that we get you the answers. You can also put it on the podcast page. I forget. There's comments there too. That's realjoy.podbean.com. And these are all linked on reconciledtoyou.com. So you don't have to miss a thing. Again, today we're talking about fools, liars, cheaters, and other Bible heroes. We have about a minute left, but I also want to take a little bit at the look at the Martha and Mary. I loved that you included Martha in your book because I am not one. And I loved what made you include her. We have about 1 minute.
I'm sorry?
What? Well, you know, we'll pick that up after the break. I wanted to find out why you chose to include Martha in your book. But we're going to go to a break in just a few minutes. We're talking again with Barbara Husbeck, author of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes. Please come back after the break. This is A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on listener-supported Real Life Radio. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on listener-supported Real Life Radio. To find out more how you can support Real Life Radio, go to realliferadio.com and click on the Care to Share button. Today we are interviewing or spending time with, I'm interviewing, you can interview too if you want to call, 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380. Barbara Husbeck, author of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes. I'm going to miss saying that after today. Published by Franciscan Media. And we, at the end of the last segment, I was talking about Martha. Now, and I was sharing with Barbara over the break that I used to think, I still think I'm no Martha. I have no skill set, domestic skill set whatsoever. And I just thought because I was a Mary and Jesus said, oh, she chose the better path, the better part. I thought, oh, I'm better than Martha. But that's really not true at all, is it, Barbara?
No, and I think that the opposite is equally not true, to make an awkward phrasing, that Martha's aren't better than Mary's either, that there needs to be balance in our lives, that call to action and contemplation is something we all need to do. I think Mary, in listening to Jesus, had a great start, but if all we ever do is listen and it doesn't change what we do or enable us to serve, what good is it? We're meant to live in community. And if all Marthas do is serve and work and they don't take time to renew themselves and draw strength from God, then all that activity is pointless. So we need to balance and have both in our lives.
I took that from this, and I'm definitely working on it. My husband's hoping I'll work a little balance into our lives with a little bit more domestic stuff getting done, because you do have to care for other people. What about your book? What is the main message, I guess, is what I'm trying to say? What do you hope people get out of reading Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes?
I hope that people can come to appreciate their own individuality more and to see that God has a plan for them right where they are, who they are, and that they don't have to pretend to be something they're not, that God wants to draw them closer to Him and to use Him and to use them in His plan just as they are.
Mm. And what do you think is the audience for this book, if you had to kind of name it? I know it's probably meant for everyone, but just your thoughts on who might most benefit from reading this book?
People who want to identify with Scripture more in a more personal way. Mm. People who maybe think that they don't have anything to offer. I guess those would be the two categories I think it would appeal to.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. Like that, just reading them and seeing where I may have looked at some of these characters, maybe overlooked them and being like, oh, well, they were kind of a mess up. They're kind of a giant fail in the Bible world. But you really gave me the other side of looking at it, you know, and seeing that perhaps, well, we know that God has a great plan and that he uses us despite or in I was thinking about Rebecca, you know, that manipulative mother, but she already knew he was the chosen one, that Jacob was the chosen one, and he did it. God did it despite her meddling. Like, it would have still happened. So I learned a lot from looking at some of these characters.
Yeah, I think Father Michael Judge had a great prayer. You know, God, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say and keep me out of the way. You know?
That's funny. I start all my retreats when I'm speaking live. I say, Lord, let your work and will be done and let me get out of your way. I'm glad I'm not the only one who sees that as a good thing, getting out of the way.
And that's hard to do.
It is
sometimes.
Hard to do. It is hard to do because we're, you know, like when we see Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, he needed to see and not to see, as you wrote, to touch and feel those wounds. But Jesus says to him, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. And that's kind of us, right? We're hoping to be those blessed of those who don't see and yet believe and believe in God's plan for us.
And I think that's why, in some extent, God chooses to work through the likes of flawed characters, because we all have flaws. And when we can see that he can bring good out of skepticism or ambition or arrogance, and that offers us a lot of hope, you know, with whatever weaknesses we may be struggling with, that God can use them. And sometimes it's our very weaknesses that help us have something to share with others. Otherwise, there'd be no living with us. You know, if we didn't have a weakness, can you imagine the arrogance? And can you imagine how unapproachable we would be? But when we can admit our vulnerability because we see other people admitting theirs, that in turn encourages other people to feel safe enough to say, you know what, I'm not who I should be either. And it's okay, God loves us anyway.
Amen. It made me think of 2 Corinthians 12 when St. Paul says, you know, and I wanted this thorn to be gone, but you keep it here. And in that, I can only boast in my weakness. So when I am weak, God is strong. And I do praise him for keeping me weak at times, because you're right. I can't imagine how arrogant and how useless I would be for God's plan if I thought I was the one driving the boat. So have you felt like this book has changed me? Do you think it's changed you at all, being the author of it?
Well, you know, I grew up, my dad always used to encourage us to be individuals and not do what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with that mindset. But in writing the book, it helped me to see that, by the same token, other people don't have to be the way I am, you know, like other drivers don't have to drive the way I think they should drive. And if everybody was like me, sometimes I think that, oh, why can't everybody be like me? But if everybody was like me, there would be no great singers, computers never would have been invented. So it's okay to be who we are, and it's also okay to let everybody else be who they are too.
Amen. What a beautiful message from this. This book is Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes, and this is out by Franciscan Media. Remind us again where we can buy this, Barbara?
Directly from Franciscan Media, or it's available on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble.
Fantastic. Well, this is going on my shelf, and this is going to be one that I read again and again. I can't really share my books anyway because I write all over them, and anyone trying to read them would just be aggravated. So you'll have to get your own copy, my friends and family, and you really should. It makes a great gift, too. I'm thinking this might be under a lot of trees come December. So, Barbara, what else are you working on? What can we expect from you in the future? Anything new and exciting in the pipeline?
Well, actually, I have ideas for two different books, and I'm praying about which one to start working on first. But my most recent book that came out is published by Paulus Press, and it's called Your Faith Has Made You Well, Jesus Heals in the New Testament.
That sounds wonderful. And that's available now? That's already out?
That was released in the end of 2014, and so that's available also directly from Paulus Press or on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Well, I think I know what my next book from you is going to be, and I really hope that you will come back and join us when I have time in the schedule to feature it, because my other ministry, as I was telling you, is called Reconciled to You, and I spend a lot of time talking about healing. And what brought about that? We have a few minutes here to talk. What brought you to that book, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I just began to look at the healing miracles in the Gospels, and again, I get curious about these people and what it was like for them, and I identify with them, like, for example, the paralyzed man when he was lowered from the roof. Was he embarrassed? Everybody's looking at this guy making the circus entrance, and then Jesus forgives some sins. What was it like for him? And what does that mean for us today? You know, what paralyzes us? Is it our insecurities? Is it our guilt? And how does Jesus work in these healing encounters we read about in the Gospels, and how does he work today to heal us of the things that cripple us or the things that we are blind to because we were in denial or whatever?
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely going to be added to my library. That's fantastic. And I think that we forget that the heart of the gospel is forgiveness. The heart of the gospel is healing. And, you know, that's part of forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. And I don't think people understand that. And even one of the greatest sacraments that we have, the reconciliation, sacrament of reconciliation, it is called the sacrament of healing. And there's so much that Jesus, like, that's what he really wants for us, is healing and wholeness. And I'm really excited about this book. Tell me the title one more time and where we can get it.
Your Faith Has Made You Well, Jesus Heals in the New Testament. And it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or directly from the publisher, Paulus Press. And again, there's a link to it on my website, BibleMeditations.net.
And I will have all of this linked to our website and to the podcast, which will be available soon. Barbara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. This has been A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras, and I've been talking to Barbara Husbeck, author of Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes from Franciscan Media. You have to add this one to your library or get a group together. If you've been looking for a book to start a Bible study group with, this is your choice. This is fantastic. On Monday, I will be joined, pre-recorded, by Sarah Reinhardt as we review some fantastic books such as The American Catholic Almanac and Thrill of the Chaste. And then next week is Tuesday through Friday, Ellen Gable's Stealing Jenny. It's available free on Kindle. Don't miss it, just till Saturday. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on listener-supported Real Life Radio.